to order at 12:30, and could we stand for the pledge, please? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For the record.
Get your backup on here, but I will.
It's the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District Finance Committee meeting, April 18th, 2019. Present are Directors Freeman and Mirbagian, General Manager Kirk Floyd, Water Resource Specialist Alyssa Gordon, and Administrative Assistant Penny Quadras. Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Okay, we're on our hand carry. And thank you for sending that yesterday. I was able to print everything except the rate study, which you gave me this morning. It looks good. It looks pretty good. So I'm assuming the 135 that we now have in that.
Are we in water or sewer? Just so I can.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need to be in sewer.
Sewer, okay.
And on revenue in FEMA Cal OES grants, is that the money Alyssa referenced in our last meeting? Yes,
yes.
Great. So that's been added.
We said possibly 150. The actual numbers are 135.
Okay.
They could go up from there, but this is guaranteed.
I'd rather be conservative.
Right.
What about, are we still not comfortable with putting in credit card fee revenue?
We are. We're just not real sure what that's going to be at this point.
So we have a little bit of a cushion there.
Correct.
Jim, are you okay with revenue?
Yeah.
On sewer?
Yep.
And so then the only thing I have to ask about is under electricity.
This is the 5192?
It's 125-00-51692. Yes, you're correct.
It's 192, okay.
So do we want to budget more? Because PG&E is threatening 50% rate increases.
They are threatening it, but we don't have anything definite. That's one of the problems, is that they're not even sure if that's what it's going to be.
Well, we know it's going to be something.
We do.
And so, do we want to cushion that?
So last year we spent 82.
And the reason we did was that was when we had the issue with the
equipment failure
at the treatment plant.
Oh, so that equipment's repairs in there?
It's all done and taken care of.
Right. I mean, we're on pretty much on budget.
Yeah.
At right now, but I do think we need to add something there.
If we do, we did move funds from reserve. We did some of the extra money that we had down below, we did move into the reserve account, so we could probably look at, instead of putting that extra in the reserve account, we could put it into electrical if you'd like to.
I mean, what do you think? Because we know it's going to be more than that.
We know it's going to go up, but we also know that if we do a mid-year budget adjustment, that would be January. And if we do that, the rate study should be in place. So the rate increase would go up January 1st.
Okay.
So either way, we kind of covered it. We could do it either now, or we could actually go through and use the rate increase. And part of the mid-year budget adjustment would say, now we know exactly what.
Well, the 3% rate adjustment's already in here. And I noticed you budgeted a little bit more on water, which makes sense. And if we're going to have brownouts, we'll probably use less than.
That's
electricity anyway. Okay. I mean, if you're comfortable with it, it's just a footnote or whatever.
Yeah. What we're hoping is that, you know, that with the rate study, if the board approves and the public approves the rate increase, it would go into effect for water January 2020 and for sewer. July of 2020.
January 2020 for water.
For water and.
Okay.
July 2020 for sewer.
Okay, then that will help us out a little bit.
So we figured that would actually look at the.
Yeah, because we don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Mean, even the rate increase, it's going to be something. My last question is just on the debt service, which this is really good to have. So I understand the bonds come through, were basically a pass through, but on the CIEDB and the USDA. Where do we reflect those here? here as expenditures?
I wish I had a magnifying glass so I can pull it up. At the very bottom, you'll see.
I see the solar. Yeah.
And.
Couldn't find the CIUGB.
I know that's not in the typically we don't have that in the operational budget because those monies come directly out and go into that separate fund. Let's see here.
Did you say you saw it on water?
No, I saw solar. Solar is there.
Where is solar?
Solar is 32 grand at the bottom.
So if you're looking at this one right here, it doesn't look like you're on the same
sewer.
Page we're on.
Oh, solar is on sewer, and CIUDB would be on water.
Right.
Okay, so here we are.
Solar down there.
And that should be something around
171,000 dollars.
218, yeah.
Yeah, that's the annual fee, and the principal amount is right there below it.
Right,
so
I got that.
Okay, so there, it's all there.
Okay, great.
I knew I saw it someplace.
The fees we're not putting in here, or we don't have to?
What, the bank fees?
Wait, that's the total. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's everything. Okay, that's everything's good. Included.
I don't have any other questions, Jim, do you?
I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's that 135.
Good job.
Definitely a boost.
Oops.
That's like the boost that.
Put this over the edge. That's why the rate study is so important because we can't expect that in the future.
We're even on water and we're 412, whatever. That's okay.
Yeah, 412 on sewer. Realistically, that would have gotten thrown up. Just so you know, water actually had some extra in it. But what I did was I put that into the operational reserve.
Great.
So that we could push our reserves up. That was easy enough with the percentage. The $412 is so close that...
To zero,
Yeah, to zero is next to impossible when you look at trying to take a percentage from our monthly fees and put it over into it. I wasn't going to force Trish to go out to the 1 millionth decimal point on that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're looking at $4 a month or something like that. So good job. Thank you. I hope it works. Let's hope that... Nothing too catastrophic on this. On the CAFO, if we may, can we go to that? Is everybody ready? The only thing I wanted to ask about was, it looks like we're getting close on Unit 9. Looks like we're getting close to actually having this project
move forward.
We're relying on the federal government.
Yeah, it depends.
So, just saying.
Did you vote?
Now that said,
where are we going to get the 25% that we have to come up with, and should we put it in here?
Actually, we would probably be looking at SRF loans, state revolving fund loan, at a 2.1% interest rate.
Okay. It's too small amount to go for a bond.
Right.
But, okay, so we're actually looking at loan for that?
Well, yeah, we split. It's in the 400s somewhere, so you can see that we split it
something,
over the duration of the project.
Which will be how long?
30 months.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So
more than 2 years. You're looking at 3 budget years.
So then that's fine.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at like a 2.5 year split, which would be wise to budget it that way.
Yep.
Okay. And we're going to still look at borrowing that?
Only if we have to. That's a backup. We can actually borrow it from SRF because it sure would be nice to have that money still available for other projects.
Yeah, I agree.
And we've paid off enough of our debt that we can actually borrow.
And we might get a low enough rate that we can just roll it.
At 2.1% would be great. You know, worst case scenario, we could go with, I can't remember now, Holman Capital. They're like 4.1%. I wouldn't advise that.
Yeah.
But worst case scenario, we have that in our back pocket. It's kind of a plan C.
Unit 9 tank is a big deal.
Yeah, so we have
it's
a plan
also
C.
Also in the project list for the IRWM folks. So as money comes through IRWM, it's all state money. So that could
be matched.
Could they help us
they
with,
could
that,
help with that
with,
for,
with our 25%
yes.
match?
Yes.
Yes.
So we've got, right there's 4 different ways to pay our match.
All right. I'm happy.
Sweet.
You happy, Jim?
Yep.
Okay.
And as you notice, we did take the admin vehicle out of there.
Okay. So this one, well, we didn't, it's out, but we did say we would look at that at mid-year. Okay. And you know, worst case scenario, if you're uncomfortable with employees taking that truck, and I get it, I couldn't drive it. But then, that's not saying too much.
I guess all I'm saying is if it gives up the ghost,
give him the mileage.
Then what, that's what
which
we'll,
is
that's
what
we've
we used
doing.
To do. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any issues with that when it happened.
Right.
So they just used to switch off the weeks.
Right.
And if that's your call, but certainly broken down on 29 is
was not good.
Happy.
Or five.
And well, Marty broke down the other day.
Yes.
Yeah.
You broke down too? No, I did not. Oh, I'm just saying, potential of breaking down on five.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
worse than 29, right.
Yeah.
Unless you're on the mountain.
Think of the green view back, maybe.
Yeah. And Marty, my issue was Marty had his had the money with him. He had the bank money in possession.
Oh,
that was
I
not
understand.
Good. So, yeah, we'll look at it and we'll see what happens. If it breaks down, we'll just deal with it.
Because maybe that truck just needs a transmission.
What's the value of the truck now?
Right now, it's very low. So, just so you know, it goes in tomorrow to the Ford dealership
right,
to get a full diagnostic of the
Great.
Transmission, see what it actually cost to bring it up so that we can hopefully include that in our repair and replace or to include that in our vehicle maintenance. We're way over vehicle maintenance this year. One of the reasons was that truck. So we're just going
we
to try to
we've had some vehicle issues.
Yeah.
We did get insurance money on the accident, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, maybe we even want to keep that truck for a kick around and get another small admin.
Yeah, if we, I mean, if we replace it, we would banish it to the treatment plant, and it would be it's a great treatment plant truck.
Right.
If it breaks down there, you can walk back to the, you know, but to carry a pump motor or something out, it would be fine.
And they get driven there. I mean, that thing has 178,000 miles.
Yeah.
And my son wanted me to put it in the junk heap, and I just wouldn't.
But
I just go around here.
Right.
It's only middle age around here.
Mm-hmm. Well, for a Toyota, it's probably just middle age.
Yeah.
I wanted to get rid of it, and Ken was like, no, you're not.
Okay, so that's where we stand on those.
We're good. Good job. Thank you, everybody. So, on the on-call pay?
Yes.
It's clearly time we did something about this. I mean, do you think?
We do. That's why we wanted to bring it to your attention now.
Right,
just
and
so you know,
I get it with the Calistoga thing. It's not a bad system. It's just not, it just makes it hard for us to compare.
Right.
But go ahead.
So, just so you know, we're looking at doing this the same way that, that the board looks at a salary survey, and that is to bring it up to the average. You know, the,
okay, because I was going to ask you, what, where are you proposing?
So the average rate, which is $321.25, that would be typically, according to our board documents, you can't bring it up above the median.
See, it's only $287 if you include hours,
yeah.
And the formula didn't include our rate of $150. So I did, so that dropped it down to $287, but six of one half a dozen another.
And then in the hand carry, what Penny did was break it out so you knew what the current weekly, monthly,
and
annual.
And then what it would be annually.
Yeah.
So we need to put this in the budget.
We think that we can include this in the budget. The $15,000, simply by looking at, if this is the a direction that the committee wants to go, in
well,
water.
Do you see another direction?
I don't. I mean, it isn't my recommendation. That's why we're bringing it. But we did, as I said, we put a little extra in the water in the reserve, and I can pull that back out, and I can put it into the overtime easily enough.
Well, is it overtime, or is this just call pay?
Well, it's on
call
pay.
Is it kind of a...
Yeah, but it's still the same place. So it's just the on-call pay.
I think we should do that.
Okay. Then what we'll do is if this budget or draft budget is acceptable and ready to go to the board workshop, prior to the board workshop, we would split this between water and sewer and make sure that it was included in that.
Okay. But you think you're comfortable with enough? You think you're going to... Okay.
Oh, definitely.
I don't see another way. It isn't fair to... On-call's a pain. And it's not the hardest job in the world or anything.
Well,
it's
no,
just
but your time away from your kids.
Your time.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're at home, there's things you can't do and places you can't go.
It's raining on Christmas and you get to go out. You don't get to spend time with your, you know, your family.
I can't tell you how many Christmases I've worked.
So. Sorry. Effective when? We'll have to protect the
time. Well, it would be with the fiscal year,
it'd be
right?
Fiscal
July
year.
1st.
So it'd be in the new budget.
It's amazing that we've never had this issue
come up
in the history of...
Right. And it was really difficult because Lower Lake is also looking at
You said they're boosting it?
Yeah, they're looking at it as well. So they have actually asked us, once we finish this, for a copy of our information.
Oh, okay.
You know, so they will actually probably mirror us in this whole effort. So it's really, one thing I want to bring out is, you know, we look at the 321 as the average. Well, that's an average with Lower Lake in it, and they're going to raise theirs. So really, that's an outlier that should be dropped.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I don't disagree with you on that.
The median actually would be much higher than 321. So if you want, we can actually look at that, see what that would be, and consider that as a potential. But that would also be something we'd bring up at the board workshop.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that. This is kind of a big hike.
It is.
And I hope that they will be happy with that. But it's up to you. If you want to bring it, phase it in the next fiscal year, like looking at a higher rate, or if we should look at this the same way we look at salaries.
Yeah, and that's really what I'm looking at, is it's really, you know, a salary structure. And so I would look at whether we phase this in as a 321 or we drop Lower Lake, which I really think we should, to be fair.
Mm, I think so.
Either way, it should be phased in July 1st of 2019.
Oh, correct.
So it's part of this new budget.
At least this.
Correct.
Right, okay. I agree with
you. But I would like to look and see what that other cost is. That's something that Penny and I were talking about. You know, Lower Lake has got this under review, so that's really an outlier. We know they're going to raise it. So,
well, if their board approves it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm happy with this. So on the weekends, okay, so there's certain times, as I understand it, please correct me if I'm wrong, there are certain workers that don't have the certification to actually
correct,
like do the weekend stuff, and but they can be on call.
Well, yeah. They can be on call, but there are certain things that they cannot respond to.
So that means Dennis is the backup still?
Dennis, or sometimes we actually have somebody else set up. You know, during the last rains, Dennis had 122 hours in a two-week period.
I know, and Barry had like 30-something hours of overtime.
Yeah.
Crazy hours.
Yeah. So, and you know, the difference is that Barry gets paid for it. Dennis does not. We don't have admin.
And that was my question. Is this going to be... I can't imagine it would be an issue because that position makes more than all of these.
Not an issue, but what we're trying to do is get enough people staffed up to where Dennis should not be on call.
I agree.
And that's really what we're looking
for. How
close
are we to that?
Until we get an operator, another operator too, it probably won't happen because we have to have people certified in those areas and actual operators.
Oh, so like Harley and...
Brandon?
Brandon. This is not even a track for them? It's like they're not even on?
They're on track, but they're not there yet. They still have certification. They have hours to put in. They have to get
a lot of hours you have to accumulate. Takes
before you're allowed to. So.
Okay. Well, it's just something.
And hardly it's not an hour issue. It's a test issue.
Yeah.
So Dennis has never got this hourly rate if he's been on a call?
Nope.
No, he's exempt.
Yeah. Still shouldn't.
Well, he has to.
Should have got it.
He has to be exempt. He's a supervisor.
Still should have got it.
Yeah.
He can't get it.
Legally, he
but
can.
We can.
Yes, he should have. You're 100% right.
He can be paid more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, maybe we should look at that.
Yeah, that would be part of the salary survey.
Right. Do we remember offhand where that position
He got moved. It got moved up.
Okay.
Not a whole bunch, but it did get moved up a little bit.
I think one of the job descriptions on the comparison was with the water supervisor over at Calistoga,
mm-hmm.
and he's having water and wastewater responsibilities. So.
Right.
Right. No, he has twice the responsibility. He has two different disciplines, and yet he's being compared to somebody who has only one discipline. So.
Well, we probably need to look at that in the future, sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Because it's an added responsibility, and it's a big one.
Right.
And it, yeah.
Well, like I say, hopefully we can get that other operator two position funded. After the rate study, and if that comes to be, then, and then one thing to think about too, this new budget does fund the position up front. There is money in there.
For operator two?
Not for operator two, for the fund up front.
Up front, yeah.
Because Karen will be retiring. So actually it's an addition to Karen's position. It's an entry level position.
So if we do a whole year on that position, she doesn't leave till January, we'll have half a year of that money that we don't use, right?
No, we'll bring somebody in as soon as we can to start cross-training.
Oh, so it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, so it's not, in other words, we've already budgeted for Karen's position.
Yeah, right.
This will be money for a brand new position up front.
Right.
We'll have three
right.
people up there. So now, right. when somebody's on vacation and yeah. somebody's sick, we aren't pulling everybody out of the back. We have that third person, and we have a broader coverage.
So when Karen leaves, we'll still replace her?
Eventually, yeah.
Okay, so there's like three people up there.
There should be three. Yeah, so what we would do is we replace her, but I don't see a need to replace and have two seniors up there. So we'd have one senior and two entry-level positions.
Yeah, see, we grew into that because they were just here so long.
Right.
Became
senior.
Right. Okay.
So the idea is to have a senior and have two entry-level people that can actually start learning the ropes from the ground up.
Okay, thank you.
So we could reclassify in the future if we decide to have two people again, but there's no need to pay somebody at that high rate of pay when they can't perform to the same level as Karen and Mark.
Yes.
Right. And Karen is very seasoned, experienced.
Definitely.
The bond process, we sort of said we'll do our reading
mm-hmm.
and educate ourselves on how that happens. And then do you have anything else to add to that?
That's it.
They have to be approved by the voters, right?
Correct.
And so here we are. I didn't have a lot of time to look at
the rate
this,
study.
But maybe we can dedicate most of our time to, because we're doing good.
Oh yeah, we're doing fantastic.
We're like not even 1 o'clock yet.
And if you want to take those home and read them, you're more than welcome to. And
well,
we
I'd like your thoughts
next week or?
As we go through them.
Sure.
What about you?
I would too.
Yeah. You complained that the meeting didn't go fast enough, so what do you think now?
We're moving. I am very happy with the rate study. Really, you had on this side of the table, you had Alyssa, Penny, Trish, and myself reviewing this on a constant basis. Everybody caught little things that we felt needed to be addressed. We did send everything back to Greg Klumpner at NBS. You know, he made those corrections. In some cases, he actually helped educate us as to why he wanted to move forward or suggest we move forward, and we agreed with him. So we went back and forth on a lot of this. If you'll notice in water, what they're proposing is a rate increase January of 2020 and sewer July of 2020.
Right.
So what that does is it spreads, it actually increases or moves up the timeline. They actually had it set at July of 2020 for both of those. That would mean that it would be a 25% increase right off the bat for water, and we felt that was not something that our...
You kind of favor the sewer increases in January anyway.
The
right?
water. The
water
in January. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's because it's a lower... And that's why we suggested it to him. Once I explained it to him, he goes, yeah, you know, I don't understand why I didn't think of that. Because what it does is it lowers the percentage that people are paying up front, and that cost comes in early enough in the year with the projects that we're looking at, and it spreads those costs out. So instead of being like 25, 20, you know, 15, 12, 12, or 15, let's see, 25, 20, 12, 12, 8 is what they had proposed originally.
Mm-hmm.
It brings it, you know, to a 20, 15, 15, and then I think an 8.
Wait, so, just on water? It's... 20.
Yeah, if you look, let me borrow your...
Figure 3. Page 5.
I'm sitting on the desk, so I'm sorry. Sorry.
Figure 3, page 5.
Yes.
This is where it all comes together. For water.
So in the yellow,
yeah.
the projected
Got
annual
it.
Plot,
Thank
20, 15, 15, 15, 8.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to get a job.
Yeah, originally they were looking at 25,
yeah.
I think it was 15, 12, 12, 8. So this spreads the costs and keeps it lower at the front than it would have been originally.
So this first earlier one,
mm.
well, it was October 2018, this mm-hmm. is so interesting, right? So we're
yeah.
just talking last fall. At 21, 22, 21-22.
Their dates were all off. They were actually...
21-22, projecting a $2.265 million net revenue requirement. Mm-hmm. Same dates, 3.2.
Yeah.
A whole $1 million more.
So yeah. What they
million ended, dollars.
Yeah. So what they ended up doing was they were not going to... that did not include the rate increase July of this year. They were looking at replacing that with a different number. Mm-hmm. So what this does is allows the current rate study to play out, the rate
yep.
increase to play out, and then go on to the end of it instead of cut it off. And so that's where a lot of the differences were.
Okay.
The other thing is that with the different projects that have come on in Unit 9, we
yep.
didn't know where we stood on Unit 9. Now we know it's going to be a viable project. Those projects were included, which really
yep.
boosts all the cost, up, unfortunately.
We're going to have to do a lot of PR.
Oh, definitely. That's why
no amount of PR in the world is going to make this easy.
Going to bring a PR firm in if we can.
We just have to stick to our...
We have to let people... We have to be honest and transparent.
Well,
and
we
say,
do have
this
to
is,
educate to,
yeah.
to your point. Yeah.
We really have to outreach a bunch.
You know, typically 3 or 4%, I would have said...
Well, that's normal. That's normal.
But this is going to require a big learning curve.
Yep. And really what it is it's because of all the deferred maintenance over the years. This maintenance was never included in the previous rate study. Replacements of the water lines, the tanks, the sewer line I&I. None of this was ever looked at and relayed to the board, and it was never relayed to the customers.
Well,
all your rate increases
I don't know that it was never relayed to the board. I think they just lacked the...
I don't think they relate it in the form of dollars. Yes, things
yeah,
need to be
correct.
Fixed.
But
that's true.
Amount,
that's true, yeah.
It was not, and you can sit there and give lip service and say, hey, these things are falling apart. But unless you link dollar amounts to it and show the board and the public what that's going to cost, you're just not doing the job. And so by giving that link, that nexus
right.
between the dollars, what it's going to cost, that's really the final step.
We did budget a PR firm.
There is a PR firm. There's funding in a PR for a PR firm in both water and wastewater. Correct.
Okay. Because I would say we're too small for that, but these increases are too big not to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, we actually have that.
And too important. I mean, heck, I don't want my bill to go up this much, but
no.
Well, you don't have anybody on staff that. Can,
we have that
correct.
Budget. Other
yeah,
professionals
has the time to do this.
No,
that's
certainly.
Really is.
Yeah.
You have the capability. You just don't have the time.
Absolutely.
It's in other professional services. We have
sewers,
20,000.
Wow, I want someone in here that's very experienced.
So we have 30,000 total,
but
20 in water.
Yeah.
We have 20 in water and 10 in the sewer. So $30,000
okay.
budget in other professional services. And typically that was like NBS and the rate study, things like that. We're not doing that this year. So that was like, what was that, like 90,000 last year or something
yeah.
like that total?
Yeah.
And we've got 30,000
right.
in this year.
Right. And I'm sure we had to pay them more for the additional, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, it was $9,000 for the, but that's because we had to wait till after the elections. There was no way to.
So we knew in August that we were not contested. I checked that with the Board of Elections yesterday, because I was like, no way. It was August 10th when we knew there was no race.
Yeah, because that was the close.
Right. And so I don't.
But
really
we also didn't know
this.
All these numbers for Unit 9 take
right.
either at that point.
Right.
So between
right.
the two, we had to wait and make sure we had viable numbers for the board and for the public.
I think that it's better to get it right.
Yeah.
But this is bad news. So what are we looking at on sewer?
Well, there's a sewer's lot of
bad.
Other small agencies that have gone up by a hell of a lot higher
oh, yeah.
in recent
sewer.
Years.
Yeah.
But, and. The issue is exactly what you said, we're aging infrastructure and we're not
going to address it. Page 15, figure 15.
I'm sorry, can we look at page 6 for 1 second? It just caught my eye. So summary of water reserve funds. If I'm reading this right, our year-ending balance in this fiscal year will be $758,000, and in fiscal year 2021, it'll be $2.7 million in debt reserve?
Let's see here. Debt ending balance, recommended
minimum.
Those are recommended minimum targets.
How will we get there?
We're not going to get there quickly, that's for sure.
Because that's... Okay, 426 into operating reserve and 219.
But what you have to look at is you have to remember that there's $2 million, I'm sorry, there's a 20% increase the first year, and the majority of that is going into your reserves. Because if you don't have the reserves, yet we have the issues with fire, and we have to bring in generators. So even if the hazard mitigation plan right there gets approved and moved forward for the generators, you're still looking at 2 years out. So we're still going to have money to bring generators in.
So. This is what we've always said we wanted, right? Healthy reserves and...
But it's painful getting there. That's the problem. I mean, I'm going to bring the board what they're asking for. It is just not fun.
That's right.
It's just
everybody wants to be in shape. It's just painful getting there. Wow, I'm just looking at some of these amounts.
He's assuming that the funds are not guaranteed, but a new $19 million revenue bond is assumed to cover these costs.
So the board,
this revenue bond that we're going to go with will be $19 million.
So, yeah, and the board can actually go through and say, we're not going to raise rates, even though they're approved. So even though, let's say we go through the 218 process, it gets approved by the voters, and the board votes it in. If we get any of these outside funding sources, his recommendation is the board looks at it annually to see if they actually want to raise rates or if they want to freeze them where they're at. Because there's no sense in raising rates if you get this other funding source.
If you get right.
But this is assuming we don't get any funding sources, which is the way agencies actually have to budget.
Well,
if the $19 million is assuming you don't get any funding source.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting.
So once you commit to that bond, you're locked into it for 30 years, right? It's a 30-year bond.
That's our revenue bond. Assessment bond. Now we have.
It's not through the tax roll. It's through revenues.
So.
Yeah, so this is, it's actually considered a revenue bond, which is basically your rates, people paying your rates.
So each year you have an increase, you might be able to choose.
It's a revenue bond, it's just your rates.
Because our other bond was a sewer bond, and also one for the building of the treatment plant, which people actually could see what they were getting. This is to support. So which is less painful, to do 20% increases in a year? Or to have people pay additional on their tax bill? And I don't know the answer.
You know, I think that when you start looking at a revenue bond, that follows you for 20 or 30 years. The nice thing about having it on your bill is that if alternate sources come in, SRF loans, grants, things of that nature, the board can suspend that. If you put it into a bond, we can't say, we don't need the money. You don't have to pay it anymore. They're stuck paying it for 30 years. But we can choose not to raise rates, even though the rates... We can freeze them.
No, we can't pay down the bond. It comes right from the assessment.
Yeah. So what ends up happening, I think it's better to do it in the rates, simply because the board has control at that point to say, you know what, we found an alternate source of income, therefore we, you know, even though we're scheduled to have rates go up in January, let's say 15% in 2021, we're not going to. You don't have to. This gives you control to say,
if you were the rate payer, and I understand what you're saying, and it does answer my question on one level. If you're the rate payer, which are you going to swallow easier on? Paying an additional on your property tax bill or having your rates go up every year? I don't know.
It depends upon the education of the rate payer.
Right.
It depends upon what they know and what their preference is. You know, is it easier for us to go through and just get money from a bond? Sure, it's easier. But is that what's the fairest to the customer?
Do you think that is easier, knowing it has to be approved by the voters? And
well, I think that you know, when you say easier, you're asking what's easier on the rate payer.
Correct.
I think what's easier on the rate payer is you know, if it passes, for them just to, you know, have that money taken out. Trying to be an educated property owner, I don't like them because I like to be able to go into my board and say, look, you know, you got these alternate sources of income. Is there a way that you can now no longer have to keep raising the rates the next year or 2 years?
I agree with you. I don't like
that's
them either.
That's my preference.
They're too much of a chunk of my tax bill, and I'm like, who voted for that?
Right.
But I'm the average voter. I think, doesn't take the time to educate themselves well on the issue.
I agree.
And so...
And the other thing I look at is a bond is something you have to vote for, and the 218 is something you have to vote against. And looking at voter turnouts, it's easier to get a 218 passed because people are not going to come out and vote against it. My understanding, after talking with staff and looking, and this was mostly looking back at the recent study, even though they had a lot of people very vocal about it, actual letters received were less than 10.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, they had the petitions. Yeah. They actually had the petitions. Right. If they had had 2 more weeks, we would have had a problem.
But the actual letters received opposing it was like 4.
Right.
So it was less than 10. So
you're going to have to educate this PR firm, you know, unless they are absolutely, you know, eyeball deep into the water, sewer and water industry. Because most PR firms are not.
CV Strategies is who I would recommend.
Mile long.
Because they owe me some favors.
What's their name?
CV Strategies. It's owned by a lady by the name of Tara Bravo. She comes from NBC News, sorry. She left the news industry, so she has tons of ties to get PR out and avenue. She's really good at it. And they have offices down in Rancho Mirage, where they started, Sacramento and Washington, D.C. They are a national PR firm. It's really good.
Consumer psychology, big time.
Big time. The only reason I think we can afford her is because she owes me some favors. I think I'd make a phone call and say, and I've already reached out to her.
What kind of favors?
I've gotten her tons of business.
Good.
In the water, wastewater industry. And I've already reached out to her, and I said, it's possible that it's up to my board. We're very small. Is this an agency you'd be interested in? She says, yes, Kirk.
Okay.
You've helped me a lot, so we would be happy to help you.
Sake of it, we should probably look at 1 or 2 others.
Oh, at least 3.
Certainly we'll go with yours.
No, that's huge. That's huge. And the fact that she's got that industry experience is good.
Yeah. She does all of them in the desert. Southern California, they have an office in L.A. too. So she does L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, Sacramento, and so throughout the state, they're very well known. And then up in Washington, D.C., they do a lot of politicking, if you will, in D.C.
Politics. Mm-hmm. Well, if we may, I'm sorry for the interruption. If you want to move on to page, what are we saying?
Oh, if you've gone to sewer, it's page 15, figure 15.
Yeah, so you look at that one, and you're looking at 7, 10, 8, 8, 8. The 2024-25 is not part of, we can only do 5 years legally. So the last one is just showing you that's where you should be anyway. And so...
Maybe the association won't go up next year. Serious.
Yeah.
So this one is a lot more palatable.
I feel bad.
Even though there are some issues with it jumping up, I think that, you know, we could swallow this increase a lot more.
Oh yeah. I mean, this pales.
Mm-hmm. Nobody complains about sewer. Water, yes.
And see, not everybody has sewer.
Oh, yeah, they do.
After a second, you'd be surprised.
We only have 1,400, and Diane Marshall probably complains about everything.
Yeah, I would love to expand our sewer system.
We only have 1,441 sewer connections, right?
1,487.
And I really have a gripe because I only get part of the sewer, and I have to pay sewer.
Yeah, 1,487. Yeah. I'd love to expand the sewer.
I would,
that's,
too.
That's something that once we're financially stable... And we look at our capital
safer,
projects.
It's safer, it's better.
We need to fix our existing sewer.
Well, and you also have to expand the treatment plant to handle that additional expansion. There's a lot more we have to do.
Oh, we have a lot to do. That's why, I mean, train sounds great, but we have a lot to do.
Yeah. Well, train might provide the money to do all this.
Maybe, who knows?
We'll see.
Wow, okay.
What's that?
So,
are they?
I would like time to...
Just a little
to,
bit, I think, not much.
What's your plan with this? Are we going to still do a rate workshop? Because remember, we were going to do that on March 18th.
But yeah, so now that this is all done, if this is acceptable to the Finance Committee, and really I would urge you to go home and you know, spend some time looking through it and then let us know at the next Finance Committee meeting. But if this is something that you are, I'm not going to say comfortable with, because I think we're all going to be very uncomfortable with this rate. But I do think it's required.
We have to read it and understand.
And that's a
and
lot.
And then are you going to get, like, protection for each of us?
Flak jackets.
Well, I understand Lieberman's already got a CCW, so he's taken care of.
What do you think, Jim? I mean, you're a lot more public than I am. And what are you anticipating?
Oh, yeah, the roof coming off and a couple of people. But, you know, I think it'll pass. We have to absolutely explain this.
Yeah, we have to do an outreach on
That's
social media, Facebook, the website.
Yep.
And then really start talking to people, a lot of flyers in with their bills. Because there's people that don't get on social media. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally, people read the bills.
And then there's going to be tons of requests from the district to the association to put articles in the View magazine.
Wow. They may not want this.
Does it start next month?
Yeah, if we get the idea to move forward, then definitely.
Speaking of next month, on June 1st, you guys have got a table and all that? Okay, all set for that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we said that at the meeting. I don't know, Jim. Do you think the association wants to... Maybe certain aspects, but, you know, there's
so
much confusion.
Certain aspects of what?
A rate increase. Are you saying use the Views?
Oh, I would just talk about in the View magazine.
To write different articles about stuff.
Different projects that have to be done,
about
the things that are falling apart.
All you have to do.
You know, just talk about, you know, we're going to have to and the closing statement in every article is going to be, you know, basically we have to increase rates if we want to make these repairs. You know, we're a nonprofit agency.
I mean, we get confused so many times, it might be worth it to say, remember, this is not the association.
Yeah.
Okay. On the recycled water rate, why is there no fixed charge?
That's actually in the sewer. The fixed charge or fixed rate is in the sewer. So you're on page 21?
I am.
Okay. Make sure we're comparing apples to apples here. Okay.
And they are recommending an increase.
They are recommending an increase. The increase actually covers 10%. All the costs incurred with maintenance. Since we have a single user, that's actually part of the cost of the gallons or the acre feet of water.
It's built in.
So you blended it into the volumetric?
Correct.
Is that okay? I mean, we don't do that on our other bills, right?
Right. In recycled water, you can actually legally do that. The reason being is that there's a single user that, you know, really is responsible for all the appurtenances that have to be repaired and replaced. And that is acquired through those costs. So if we have to replace a water meter, we would do it through revenue recovered through volumetric.
Okay. I'm going to bring up something else. Let's go back to our current brownouts.
Okay.
So the association is going out and going to buy five generators. And I keep telling them, you better buy one for CSD because... You know, A, we don't have the money for it, and B, it doesn't matter how many generators you buy, if they don't give you give the golf course the water from their point of view, nothing happening.
So the nice
here's what I'm looking at happening. Mm-hmm. If we don't get a generator and the golf course goes belly up, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to come back at us here.
The nice thing is recycled water is powered by the pumps at the treatment plant, which already has a generator.
Why are they buying five generators? For the admin and for...
One for the admin, two for the golf course, and...
And then this is through Vince Siegel...
One security, one for security, and the other one for the pool.
This is in anticipation of the brownout?
Yeah.
So they met with Vince Siegel Electrical yesterday at the association. Mr. Siegel came by and met with me afterwards. Charles Russ called me. I asked if he could have Mr. Siegel come by. His card is sitting right on my desk.
Yeah.
I did ask him to schedule some time with staff and I next week. He's going to come back up from Santa Rosa. They're currently setting things up to power entire cities. They're setting up things up to power all of Calistoga. So they actually will put in, you know, like a 50 megawatt, you know, unit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that we need four generators. Granted, we can get away with three short term because we have one on a trailer. And we can move that trailer up to one of our two booster pumps. It would be nice to have that as our backup because it's also not going to meet air quality regs fairly soon. So we're not going to be able to always use that generator. So we will need 4 generators. What we did find is that, and I've already talked to Mr. Siegel about that, we have our 3 wells. 2 of the wells are wired together at a pedestal in the center. And then we have the number 4. So if we put a generator in the middle, we could power this pedestal, which powers both wells and also our well 4. So with one generator, we can power all 4 wells.
Okay.
Next, you have to come to this facility. We know that a 500 kilowatt generator, because that's what we had here, will power all 7 of our current pumps, and with Valley coming on, 8 pumps. And then it'll also power this building. So that leaves us with a 200 and a 300 needed at the 2 booster stations. Again, we have a trailer generator that will power either one of those. It'll power 300. So we would like to get a 300 up, and then we'll have that, and then funding available, we'll get the last one up. So he's going to give us quotes for renting those through the summertime months when they're typically doing the brownouts. And he's also going to get a quote on actually installing full new ones. And then we may phase it in. I talked to him about doing auto transfer switches. So I said, if we put in an auto transfer switch here, and we have a specific plug, because right now we pay an electrician every time to come in and go, okay, what is the direction of spin on your pumps? Because you don't want to spin them backwards to break a shaft.
Yeah, three-phase, right?
Yeah, so we would actually have it pre-wired, so all we have to do is bring their generators in, and they'll be wired the same way. We literally plug them in, the auto transfer switch kicks, and the generator kicks on automatically.
So you got to pigtail them, essentially, that's going
exactly.
On.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what everybody has to. And by the way, Kim said that she's going to give me the name of somebody who came in. It was $7,000 to wire her whole house automatic with propane, the whole 9 yards complete. Which I didn't think was a bad price, including
generators?
Putting in the concrete
slab.
Pad.
Yeah. And is that for a Generac? Are they going to do a Generac generator? That's one of the best out there. The
that's
runoff propane.
Their house out there.
Grange Road, yeah. Using propane, which is a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
What's the cost to the association? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
He hasn't come up. He has not given the association a quote yet.
Yeah.
Well, if the association wants to buy us a generator,
we'll take it.
We'll take it, Jim. But
right?
You know what?
Did we miss that whole conversation?
No. Yeah, we'll take it.
Just off the heels of this HMGP application, in the context of applying for funds, they want you to do a cost-benefit analysis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the cost of keeping things the way they are, which is renting a generator and renting electricians has to be,
weighed
versus
against.
Not having to pay that in the future when you buy this thing.
Yeah.
You
That's
have to
exactly
have that
right.
number be greater than 1. But anyway, if the association would be interested in renting us that thing, it only goes towards the argument that we're trying to make in our application.
Correct.
So,
We could rent one at very low cost.
Well, and I don't think that they're, I told them the cost to rent it, and they already knew those costs.
They haven't gotten it through the board yet.
No, but the board's aware of it, so.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, since we don't have enough generators to meet all our needs when we are going to have these brownouts or blackouts, do we have a priority of what we will serve with a generator?
Who's not going to get water?
Well, not so much that as I'm assuming we would certainly prioritize constituents getting water over watering a golf course.
Yes, but the
two
different things. So what ends up happening is we have to keep the wastewater treatment plant going so the bugs don't die.
Yeah.
Right.
That generator's already there. It's already installed.
Okay.
It's already on
so
diesel.
So it's not an either or.
No. Stationary.
No. Okay.
That
right.
one
That's good.
Will power the pumps right out there on the
right.
north side.
Okay.
And that pumps water over here.
Okay. So it's not anything conflicting with delivering water to people. Okay.
No.
So I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead. Go first.
So if we have a generator that's on wheels that we can move about.
We do.
So could we use it to move from one tank to the other? So fill one tank and then move it to another? You can't do
that. No, because what happens is, you can pump and fill this tank up over here, 10,000 gallons, which when you look at it in the big realm of things is next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to disconnect and bring the trailer over here. That trailer mounted pump will not run the pumps over here at this facility because they take up much more power.
Mm.
So then you could use it to pump from there over to the booster pump, but there's no tank at the, there is a little tank over at Unit 9, but the other booster pump, there's no tank. It just picks up what's in the line and shoves it the rest of the way up the hill.
Unit 9. And we are undersized, so the amount of pumping that we do is a lot more than it should be. So by the time we finish pumping over there and get over here, we have to go back over there.
Yeah.
Because the tanks are so
logistically
small.
Logistically, it just wouldn't
We
work.
Are not very efficient in our pumping.
But
that's why we're
idea.
Trying to change this stuff. So
if we were efficient and everything was running smoothly, that
lots of money.
Could be an option.
When you look at Unit 9 tank, the replacement of that small wooden tank was with two much larger tanks. That's to provide that efficiency. That's what that whole project is for, is not just to replace this wooden tank, but to now cut down on our pumping costs. And we can store that water in those tank sites and move them up to Little Peak. And once Little Peak's full, we can actually store water at that level at a lower rate. It's already sitting there, and so that's stored power. And then when Little Peak needs it, instead of having to pump it from the bottom all the way up, we just pump from Little Peak up.
All else fails, we can do a filling station.
Yeah, all else fails.
Fill your tanks.
So
wow, that's actually
She talked about Penny said let's build a manifold right out at the well. People can come out to Grange Road and fill up their water buckets. That's really what we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
And that is a contingency.
It's not far
plan.
From reality.
Not far from reality at all.
Well, it's treated, right? Isn't it treated right at the?
We would treat it at the.
It have to be from reality.
That's fine.
But we can do that. We can get water. We can get water here with that generator.
I thought it was treated right at the injection.
It's chlorinated, but it actually has to go through. Has to blend. Has to go through the blending tank here, so it touches all the molecules of water for chlorine.
Yes.
So what we would do is that generator can run, let's say for example, well 4.
Yeah.
And if it does that, it does pump it over here to the blending tank, and it blends as it's being pushed through the actual tank. The only problem I have is we'd have to put the chlorinators here on a battery system. I'd have to put it on my truck, use my truck as a generator. Jeez. And then we could have a manifold right here and people can fill up their 5 gallon jugs and take
it's
it home.
It's called Rube Goldberg.
Oh,
he's got an answer.
Yeah, this, that would be the perfect mousetrap. That's all we could do, honestly.
Okay, so
thinking out of the box.
And we are looking
we'll study this. Oh, we should probably look at calendars and look at potential workshop dates.
We're also looking, just so you know, at doing the same thing that Kanakta Water District did. They put a flyer out. You know, let me go grab it off my desk. About the power outages.
Is PG&E going to do that? Oh, we're going to tell people how to prepare for them?
No, just let them know that
they
need to conserve water when the power is out.
Oh, believe me, a 20% rate increase is going to make you to conserve water.
That was
I'm talking about for
this summer.
When we're out, the
right.
power out.
So that went to Penny's house, my house as well, and we're going to probably have to do something similar to that to reach out to the public and let them know. That it's going to be affecting us. That's part of the outreach that we're talking about with the rate increases, because this rate increase is actually funding generators also. That's part of the project.
Yeah.
So we need to start getting ahead of this whole rate increase and say, look, these things are what's driving the cost of water up.
So I have a question. On our website, we have salaries posted.
For positions.
Mm-hmm. And when they see the increase, the only thing they're seeing on our website is salaries.
It's going to be a huge problem.
Ooh. So if we start putting on the website projects that we're actually doing and what's been completed and where that money's going,
that's what this is about, right?
I think they'll be
idea.
A little bit more.
That's what the public
comfortable
is about.
With a little
Honey, they were,
more of a balance.
That they were hitting on employees so bad. They were saying things like,
"Oh, I can't imagine what these guys up front are going to go."
Your assistant's a glorified coffee girl. Oh, it was just awful.
Yeah, so that's what the whole public outreach is about, is actually putting all of the projects and the costs and where we're going to try and get the money from on the website, and that Facebook
but I think that's
and all
really
this
great
direct
idea.
Them.
Yeah,
that's what we can talk about doing.
Well, and our PR firm should manage a lot of that too, in terms of what they suggest.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to go after the salaries. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember. It was like, I haven't had a raise in 3 years. Why should you get this?
Not, You should have heard what they said about the Cadillacs and the Tesla in the parking lot.
Yeah, somebody came in and started screaming about
the car. I had someone ask me about your Tesla. Only because...
The car.
Oh, that's
fine. Oh, your car?
Yeah.
When I was married to a doctor, I'd go to the supermarket at midnight. Because people would actually stop me and say, I just bought that steak for you.
Nice.
People just are not rational when it comes to these things. But the Tesla, there's a guy that has a Tesla club.
Really?
Ben Local? Skirber, yeah. And he asked, whose Tesla was that? He assumed it was yours. Uh-huh. And I was like, no. And he goes, well, we have a club. You should, if she's interested.
Yeah, Russ
we
is
a Tesla wave, you know, like Harley
Russ,
wave.
Russ has a Tesla.
We got to have
Russ
like a
has
Tesla
one?
Wave.
Yeah.
I love them. I think they're great. Yeah. But anyway.
So I was wondering, I've looked at other websites and other salary information on other CSDs, and a lot of times I've seen a hyperlink to the controllers.
You
website.
Can do that. You can
and,
do that.
A whole heck of a lot more keystrokes to get to that information.
Oh, but when they get there, it's not good.
Yes. Well,
because all your benefits are spelled out there, the actual percentage of the budgets that it's costing. I mean, you know what? The fact is, this is what it costs to retain people, and we should just own it. But I agree with you. If you make it a little... But the
it's
controller's website has got just a plethora of information.
Well, I'm thinking of taking the photos down off of the website.
Of the staff, the staff in
I
those figures, in
those off
positions?
This year. I think we took those off.
Oh, you mean there's a photo with the job description? We should.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We should not do that. It's never about people. It's because the consumer has no idea where you are on that scale.
Right.
And that's none of their business.
Right.
Well, they all know where I'm at on the scale.
Well, yeah.
I recall working at the association, and a lot of the staff there would not go to the concerts on the green.
Yeah.
They simply, you know,
I know.
Get
couldn't
ranked.
Enjoy the community.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
you work for me.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
I heard that from there, yeah. I'm just pouring wine.
All right. Let's look at our workshop time.
Yeah, let's look at our workshop time. No, it's going to be unpleasant, but we all just buck up, and we could be recalled. That could happen. And it might at 20%, but I don't know who you're going to get to...
There's really no other way to do it.
Do the right thing. There's no other way to do it.
So are there certain days that look best for you? I know I start jury duty the 24th, next Wednesday.
April 30th is not good.
April 30th is definitely not a good day.
Is Larry out now on April 30th, or are we still...
Well, we're still doing April 30th,
okay.
But I think we're still doing the 23rd, too.
Yes, still doing the 23rd.
Okay.
I mean, you guys could come in, spend 15 minutes, 23rd, and say we're done.
Oh, we got this. We know how to do that. Yeah.
So
we're probably... When do we want... So we want... This has to be passed by June, the June board meeting. It must be done in an open, regular meeting in accordance with the law.
And I would suggest you do it either the same day or very near the same time you do the budget, because they are closely related.
Well, the problem we've had with that is if there's issues.
What issues?
Some people, one year, some director did not want to approve the budget.
Do you have to have a period of public comment, or does it happen in the same meeting that you adopt the budget?
It's not like a hearing, as right, or is it?
It is not a hearing.
Right, so we don't have to, it'll just be regularly noticed as part of our regular meeting.
Right.
People used to do special meetings for the budget because they didn't want
to see it. We try not to do that.
And you can't do it, it's against the law now.
Right.
After Bell, it was against the law.
So. Okay, so May 21st is our regular meeting.
So then maybe we want to do it like May 7th or 6th.
Why not do it at the regular meeting?
No, the workshop.
Oh, the workshop.
Yeah. Because we actually have...
You want to try and get
it done? Oh, you want to do the workshop ahead of the May meeting? That gives us plenty of time, because then it doesn't have to be approved till June.
Correct. But if we can approve it in the May meeting, that'd be great, and the budget's done a month early.
Yes.
Well, they want the workshop.
Yeah. So
before the May meeting.
We do both of them.
I don't want to do a workshop in a regular meeting. It's too darn
long.
No, I agree.
No, I'm just saying do both of the... The workshops, the workshop for the budget and the workshop for the rate both of those before the May meeting.
Oh, yeah.
So we do it, okay. Do it the 7th?
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll do it the
7th work for you?
7th?
7th works for me.
You'll be on vacation.
You'll be.
I know. Well, I'm just making note. You'll be on vacation.
I am quite aware.
But that's
come on back.
That's okay, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, totally, it's a board workshop. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll be here, and Trish will be here.
5:30, May 7th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that will be the rate study and the budget workshop.
If you'd like to do both of them, we can, and then we can turn around. I would.
Do you want to?
Yep.
I think we can do the whole thing within 2 hours.
I think we limit each of them to 1 hour. You know, when you limit it,
yeah,
stuff gets done.
Yeah. We have 2 hours total for
it. And it's not a decision making. We can't make decisions anyway. It's just review.
Ask questions.
All right, 5:30, right?
Yeah.
5:30, May 7th, here in the boardroom. We'll have everything up on the projector, and we'll get everything out to all the board members in advance so that they can look at it.
It's called board workshop.
Yeah, it's going to be board workshop, and then it'll be 2019-20 budget and NBS rate study.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll be calling 911.
Well, they're right down the street. I have them on fast dial, yeah.
Worksop. Dude, you got to do better with
I'm medically trained.
Fat little Italian
fingers. Run out of water, or in this case, if they run out of water, don't they have to do a boil water order?
If they actually drain the entire pipes, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have to do a boil water notice,
yep.
And then you also have to flush all the lines and do a back tee.
Is there going to be any...
You want to add that in your little thing.
You know, is there something... Is anybody going to do anything about what PG&E is doing?
I mean, I keep thinking they're going to sue them. Somebody's going to sue them.
Well, they're being sued up the yin-yang, but they're not going to get... They'll get away.
But the thing is they've told them, even though they've been sued...
PUC has allowed them to do this.
PUC is...
So we need to sue the PUC.
Yeah.
Which is a government agency, which is hard to sue.
Almost impossible.
So, but I mean, can't they...
But you can sue Newsom himself. You can sue the individuals.
They did say that they're going to deny the lawsuits for PG&E. That's what I've heard, too.
To what?
The lawsuits that are being imposed against PG&E are going to be denied.
That's what I heard, too. They are going to get away with this.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but I mean, can't they make them do more clearing, more maintenance and stuff before they shut off? That's just shutting off power. It's not just lights in your fridge. It's water.
Right. And I think they need to... So what we're talking about doing is being able to island ourselves. And if we can island ourselves, that when the PG&E shuts down, we don't care.
You know...
If we island ourselves, we could be the power provider for this entire community.
Yeah, if you're off the grid. But when you have a public utility that just is allowed to misbehave, islanding isn't...
Right.
The best thing, but it's certainly a possibility.
That way, you when they shut off, you go, we don't care.
I know.
We're going to provide our own power. We're going to generate our own power, or we have enough power storage. Let you in on a little secret. I'm talking with Michael Day. They cannot do this because they're pretty hamstrung when it comes to doing some things with the private entities, and I know you got to get going. But
no, you do.
There is a way to take water heaters. And your typical water heater is a 40-gallon water heater.
Mm-hmm.
They would actually, and hear this out, we could buy at $2,000 a pop enough water heaters for electric water heaters for everybody here. If they want to switch over to electric from PG&E, from gas water heaters, or if they are already, and we could buy those for them, and we could afford to give them probably a $50 a year rebate that they could use towards their water. Because what happens is these new water heaters, they're basically like thermoses, like the new thermos material you see.
Mm-hmm.
So they're highly efficient. And what they do is during the middle of the day when there's too much power on the grid, that's when they heat the water and store it. So you'll find that your water heater is the biggest power consumer in a house, even bigger than an AC unit during the summer. So what you do is you generate all that and you use it as a thermal storage of energy by heating that water.
Mm.
Then in the evenings when there's a huge need for power because solar's gone away,
right.
And from 6 at night
people
till 9 at night, now they can actually go in with Wi-Fi. You have to have Wi-Fi at the house to do this, but they can go in with Wi-Fi and shut down your water heater, but you've got 120 gallons of stored water to get you that 3 hours. And then after that time, you can go ahead and power it up. So they found that, that electrical water heaters are, of this nature are not only more efficient, they're less costly for the homeowner. So they save in their bill. They use less, you know, if they switch from propane, of course now they use less propane, but they could actually do it more efficiently with an electrical water heater. So the difference is that we can actually look at, you're looking at about $1.4 million a year, okay? But we're also looking at a cost to us of about $400,000. $1.6 million a year. Look at it, cost us about $400,000. So it would be about $1.2 million a year, even after we paid for all the...
You're talking about net?
What's that?
Net?
Very close to a net. Mm. And so we can actually...
Why are we waiting?
Yeah, exactly.
Money.
Okay. So, well, what's really nice is there are companies out there that will actually pay for it up front.
You pre-sell it.
Exactly.
It's pre-sold.
So what we would do is we want to put that literally... Yeah, you're thinking in my head. This is great. We want to actually reach out to the customers and get a list of at least, they said it takes at least 350 individuals to make it worth your while. So if we get 400 homes that pre-register to do this and sign up and say, yes, we have Wi-Fi, yes, we have all these things, and we want to do this. We want you to give us a free water heater. We want $50 a year rebate towards our water bill.
I'll sign up for that. Then, am I committed to anything?
No. And then if we can put this together, I told them, well, 350 is a breaking even. I want at least 400. I want that leeway.
What if someone wants out?
They can, but they'd have to, out at their own expense. They would have to take the water heater out, and they would have to. So,
So what's the ROI on the heater itself?
For us, the ROI is less than a year.
What is it for the average consumer?
So the average consumer, if they're going to put one of these in themselves, I believe the ROI on that was looking at, because see, they don't get the cost benefit of the purchase. So I think it was a 3.5-year return on investment from what I was seeing.
So even if you talk about 4 years, most people stay in their homes 4 to 5 years anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have any costs to put it in, they see the benefit with no ROI. We pay for it.
We pay for the installation?
We pay for the installation. We pay for the purchase of the water heater.
Right.
Where does the consumer come up with the money to pay you back?
They don't have to.
Why would we buy them a water heater?
I don't get it.
Because it's a $1.6 million annual benefit.
How? How does it benefit the district?
We actually get paid by the PUC, by PG&E, for being able to, for them having control to shut the water heaters off from 6 at night till 9 at night. And to only
so
power them.
There would be no midnight baths.
Yeah, there would be.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there definitely would be.
Take your bath after 9.
Can't wash your hair.
You got 120 gallons of stored water. Your bathtub's only going to hold.
I know, it excites you, but like we like to do those things. I'm just kidding.
It'll still work. Good.
Because you have 120 gallons instead of 40 gallons, you can still have that hot water.
And it's the theory is great, and even probably the practicality. But like solar for me, Solar City came, and they could not do better than my electric bill.
Right.
I mean, my electric bill this month was $26. Yeah. And they were like...
Solar is extra free.
Yeah, my hot water heater is propane now, mm-hmm. and it's fairly new, but I like that idea of.
Yeah, you just have a much larger and much betterly insulated.
More efficient.
So the PUC pays you. You're getting your money from the PUC.
Yeah.
Annually.
Annually for 20 years.
And it's guaranteed in writing.
Guaranteed in writing for 20 years, no matter what.
For 20 years.
To us as a district.
To us as a district.
Okay, I have to say is
guarantee the water heater
solar.
For 15
years. Can we adjourn?
Oh, yes. All right. I'm sorry. We are adjourned at 1:35. Nine, sorry.
1:39.
And so, we didn't have any comments. We had them all.
Okay. Let's go back to this one.
But I mean, like the solar